Hello, welcome to the Monday, January 19th, 2015 edition of the Sands and its Storms and its Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Good reminder from Daniel in Friday's diary about shell shock. It's still going around, it's still exploiting systems. If you see it in your web logs, take the time and maybe a couple IPs a week or whatever and try to notify them that they're scanning you, because most likely these are infected machines themselves. Personally, I don't see a lot of sort of normal web servers, web applications being vulnerable to this anymore at this point. However, I do still see a lot of embedded web servers in various devices, like we talked about the disk storage devices, routers and the like, being vulnerable to shell shock. And Guy posted about some odd requests he's seeing in his own web servers. Apparently, these are scans for specific PHP scripts. Now, these PHP scripts are not something standard, vulnerable, or the like, but I believe these are more backdoors that other exploits left behind. So if you come across one of them, it would be nice to figure out what they actually do. Oftentimes, attackers do leave behind, for example, backdoors or shells and such that they later use to access your system, even if you should have patched the system against the original vulnerability, or the attacker may actually even patch the system in order to prevent others from exploiting it, and that's where these backdoors come in. So other attackers now, instead of just scanning for the vulnerability, may be scanning for backdoors. Attackers sometimes use bad or no passwords themselves, so that's possibly the exploit here. And remember, one of the interesting patches last Tuesday from Microsoft was MS-15-2, which was the Telnet vulnerability. Apparently, there is already a proof of concept exploit out there, even though it's not widely available. The original website that posted is no longer offers it. Some search engines still have it in their cache, apparently. There's also a Chinese website with additional details about this particular problem. So that's certainly something you should address. Like I talked about when we talked about Patch Tuesday, it's unlikely that you're running Telnet, so that should be really a fairly simple scan of your infrastructure, and then if you run to a couple machines that run it, patch it. And Google released three additional vulnerabilities in Windows without first allowing Microsoft to release a patch for these vulnerabilities. These are privilege escalation vulnerabilities, so nothing terribly severe, but still interesting how Google is now following through with their threat to release these vulnerabilities within 90 days. In particular, since according to some of the correspondence that was released by Google, Microsoft initially planned a patch for the January patch update, but then pushed it back to February for some stability fixes. Next story is about, well, Internet of Things again, and in this case, the OBD2 port, or the onboard diagnostic port that you have in a lot of cars. You may have noticed that it's usually somewhere under the dash or such, and insurances lately, in particular, Progressive, have offered devices that you can plug into these ports that will monitor your driving behavior and then report it back to the insurance for possible discounts. The interesting part is that, of course, this OBD2 port is not secured in any way other than physically secured within your car. It can also be used to control the car. So, for example, depending on the car, you may be able to start the engine or unlock doors using this port. Now, Forbes has an article about vulnerabilities, in particular in the Progressive plug that's being delivered to insurance holders for these discounts. It's a little bit hard really to see what to make of this. First of all, the actual proof that's being offered in the article is fairly limited. And at this point, really the only thing the attacker here accomplished was, if they have a hold of a plug, they can flash a different firmware on it and then, well, plug it into your car. But in order to do that, they first need access to your car in the first place. So a wrench may be an easier way to accomplish that. Also, because the port itself really allows any device to attach, and you can even get little Bluetooth adapters to basically feed car information to your phone and the like, the firmware in the plug from Progressive being insecure really doesn't add a new vulnerability, because you could just essentially plug in any device. You're not limited to Progressive's device. Now, where it gets a little bit more interesting is that apparently the Progressive device also has an uplink capability where it can send data to Progressive more or less live. And that link uses a cellular phone connection. Now, cellular phone connections are not really as unsecure as an open Wi-Fi, but not really all that secure either. So someone could potentially hijack this connection. Problem I have with the Forbes article is that this is just speculation at this point. The only proof they offered is that if someone can open your car, plug in one of these plugs with a custom firmware, they may be able to open your door, which, well, they already have open. All the cell phone connectivity and such is really speculative at this point. Also, there is no proof that the plug that Progressive delivers even has a bi-directional capability where they can send data to the car, which would be necessary in order to, for example, unlock doors or cause other mischief to the car. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.